I want to trust him, but then when we give him some trust, then there's like he's not following through with the agreement, you know, and the verbal agreement, and then that feels like yucky to me because I'm like, well, you didn't honor the trust, you know, that you set up with us or the agreement. And then the other extreme is, you know, this having to, okay, physically give me your computer, physically give me the phone, physically give me the iPad at 9:30 so you can like actually get to bed and get up for school.
Tell Me About Your Kids is a chance for you to listen in on unscripted conversations with connected parenting specialist Bonnie Harris. As she talks with real parents like you about real struggles like yours, these counseling sessions get to the heart of why our buttons get pushed as parents and offer tips and advice useful no matter your child's age. Listen in and subscribe to let go of old habits and raise your kids in a way that feels good. If you're having a parenting challenge and need help, visit BonnieHarris.com for free resources, schedule a session, or get a free one-on-one counseling session by becoming a podcast guest. We're all in it together. You're not alone. Thanks for listening.
Tell me about your kids. Welcome back to Tell Me About Your Kids. I'm Bonnie Harris, and I am your host. And Adam Arnone is producer, sound engineer, buddy. How are you, Adam?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Oh, good.
You're always just a slight, like you hesitate just a slight bit when you say my credentials of like what I do. are you trying to... And it's funny because a lot of times when you're saying it, you're looking at me at the time, uh-huh. And I can't. I'm just like, are you trying?
Are you sure you're my son?
Yeah, like, are you? You're just like you're sure, but you're not quite sure.
Really,
like, who do I?
I think it's because I say the same thing every time.
I think that could be it. That could be it too.
I'm thinking in that little space. I'm thinking,
like, do I want to change?
What new could I say about him?
What new thing?
Yeah.
Has he done?
That's what's going on there.
It's remained pretty consistent.
It has.
Podcast producer.
And buddy.
I love that.
That's the best.
I love that. You're not living if you're not somebody's buddy somewhere.
That's right.
You know?
And you've been here, well, you're the one who talked me into doing this, but you've been here through thick and thin. We have done this together.
True.
For 3 years.
Three.
And listening audience, we're winding down the podcast.
Insert sad crying noise.
Right. It's very bittersweet, you know?
It is, but...
It's very bittersweet.
But, you know, going back, I remember talking about, wouldn't it be crazy if we hit 50 episodes?
Yeah,
and then, are we going to go to 100? And then
we're gonna
end it on 150.
150, yeah.
Which is
pretty amazing.
Which is pretty amazing for a weekly podcast.
A weekly podcast,
yeah.
Exactly. And relying on parents to be the guests on all of them. It's been amazing.
That's what's truly remarkable as well, is that none of these people are professionals in that way. Like they're just parents,
right,
who have been going through something and are willing to share their story. And it's remarkable.
Yeah, it is remarkable. And I thank each and every one of you who have been on the podcast and really made it what it is. And I believe the feedback that I get, I believe that the listeners really gain a lot of knowledge from listening to all the parents who have been on.
It's true. It's a lot of paying it forward and building a community.
Building a community, helping each other,
yeah.
Being willing to share what you're going through as a parent.
Yeah. Well, that's what's so interesting about podcasts, I think. And when you do something that has, you know, some sort of stability where every week a new one is coming out, it's like you are in community with other people and you don't know them. They don't know you, but you get a sense of who they are and what they do.
It feels very intimate.
It does feel, it does. It does feel that way.
That's what we wanted to get across anyway.
Yeah. I felt that way just listening to these. I mean, as we always joke about, nobody listens to these more than I do because I do all the editing. But after, you know, we have a couple more episodes to go to hit 150, but, and I don't think that's going to change in the next
four more, actually.
Yeah, yes. Four more to go. And it's remarkable, again, to make you using that word, that's the word of the day, is so many people have the same story.
Yeah.
You know? And
there's a lot of shared.
Very.
Shared conundrums, worries, problems, issues, joys, all of it.
And they're almost never from the same place. It's been very rare for us to have, just in geographically, these are people all over the world.
All over the world.
And so there are these universal experiences that people go through that we talk about. And I feel like that's got to be reassuring on different levels, to hear that, you know, you're not alone and everybody's going through something.
Right.
Speaking of that,
One of the things we talk a lot about that a lot of parents share is issues they're having with what I call the integrity child, the child who won't take no for an answer, won't be told what to do, the one who makes us crazy. And I don't want to say the opposite of that, but the other end of the spectrum is what I call the harmony child. And today, I had the opportunity to really talk about a harmony child and get into harmony kids are just so delightful that parents don't have problems with them. And this mom today, Anne, is it's about screens, but we were able to get into what to watch out for with your harmony child. So I hope it will be useful to all of those who have those lovely, engaging piece of cake kids, because they're not to be taken for granted.
So listen to this episode and enjoy it. Find useful things in it and, you know, apply them to your life. And now that we've shared our news with you that we're winding down, then, you know, we'll appreciate these last episodes,
yes,
even more than we usually would. So thanks for, you know, being with us and enjoy. Here we go.
Children with your trust is a must, no matter the behavior, in order for your children to truly believe in themselves. But how do you trust when agreements are broken and certain activities, especially screen time, take precedence over what you want and have agreed on? We must remind ourselves that kids will be kids, which means they want what they want when they want it, and a parent's expectations must be set accordingly to avoid battles. Less words and more choices can often lead the way forward. Welcome to the show, Anne. It's lovely to have you here today.
Thanks, Bonnie.
So tell me about your kids.
I have a 14-year-old, almost 15-year-old, Daniel, and I have a 6-year-old whose name is Justin.
All right.
Both boys, yeah.
And what would you like to start off with today?
Okay, so Daniel is a pretty remarkable kid. He's bright, he's funny, he's kind, he's just like a really, really good kid. Like, I couldn't have asked for a better kid, honestly, especially with my first. And my challenge, and I would say that everything, like, overall is pretty good. Like, he is, I think he's doing well in school, socially, he's doing great. Like, I feel like my concern probably is relatively, like, small in the grand scheme of things. I can see so much good that's happening in health and well-being in his world. Mm-hmm. Since he was a baby, we've been pretty mindful about screens and, you know, well, not even as a baby, like when he was a baby, like I feel like screens weren't even really like that big of a thing. He, you know, he probably started watching some shows when he was like 3 or 4, you know, like occasionally, like Thomas mm-hmm. the Train or something like that, you know?
Right, right.
But he's always been very, very like drawn to screens. So like if we'd be at a restaurant as a baby, you know, with those TVs, he'd be like turning his head, you know, trying to see. Right. And it wouldn't matter what was
on. Of course. Okay. Right.
Yeah. Very compelling. Understandably so. Mm-hmm. So my question is, or my concern is about, this is the reality we live in. You know, he has a phone. It's a flip phone to his dismay, but he has a computer.
Oh my goodness. Ooh, almost 15 and he has a flip phone.
Yeah, mm-hmm. right. We've been holding off and he just got it a few months ago. So much to Daniel's dismay, that's the reality. But he has a laptop for school and there's also an iPad for, I don't know, he does Snapchat and I'm not even sure what else on there, YouTube, stuff like that. And I would say most of his screen time is spent, he makes his own music. He learned how to create, a program to make his own electronic music and he's really talented at it. But the issue has been turning it off, like being able to step away from it. And so it feels like I'm micromanaging. I'm constantly reminding and I'm having to say like, okay, you've been on there for like an hour. Let's like, can you go take a break? And I feel like we're generous about how much like giving him enough time for homework and his music and doing the YouTube stuff that he likes to watch, like goofy videos or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then there's been a few incidences where, you know, when I didn't remind, I just said, okay, I'm going to like, just trust you to do it. He was up till 4 in the morning, you know, mm-hmm. I think he was watching mm-hmm. Bob's Burgers or something. Like, I'm not even sure what, but I think it's pretty harmless stuff, but I'm stuck in this place of how much do I just say like, okay, you got to figure this out. And then how much do I say, okay, well, no, your prefrontal cortex isn't developed. So let me help you out here a little bit, you know, and help you make some better choices that are going to, mm-hmm. you know, be better for your body and your mind and your heart. But it just, I just have this underlying feeling of yuck. It just feels yucky. Like, I just feel like I want to trust him. But then when we give him some trust, then there's like, he's not following through with the agreement, you know, and the verbal agreement. And then that feels like yucky to me. Cause I'm like, well, you didn't honor the trust, you know, that you set up with us or the agreement. And then the other extreme is, you know, this having to, okay, physically give me your computer, physically give me the phone, physically give me mm-hmm. the iPad at mm-hmm. 9:30 so you can like actually get to bed and get up for school. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah. You and a gazillion other parents on this globe. It is such a tough time to be raising kids. And what I'm struck with is that you're talking about this kid who in every other aspect of his life is doing just great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we don't have a kid who is throwing nasty comments at you. We're not talking about a kid who's swearing and refusing to come to the dinner table or holing up in his room and not wanting to partake in anything. Mm-hmm. He still partakes in his life. He's involved with his friends. He's involved in school. He's keeping up with everything. He's
yeah,
a great
sports, yeah.
He's a, and sports, and he's a great kid. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the big picture is one, and I think you realize this, that you don't have to worry about. He's doing just fine.
Yeah.
It's the day-to-day minutiae of mm-hmm. how do you get him off? Because these things are so incredibly compelling. Mm-hmm. I assume you've tried various methods. Yeah. Have you thought about like parental control timers? So it just shuts off at a certain time?
Yes. We have talked about that. I'm not sure why. And then I come up against this thing like, well, I'm not the second guessing comes in is, well, do, right? Which is, I mean, essentially, that's essentially what we're doing. We're just taking the devices away. So it's kind of a physical removal timer.
Yeah, right. Anne and her husband are on the right track when they get stuck because they know that taking his computer away doesn't create the opportunity for Daniel to self-regulate. The truth is, these boys are growing up in an age where culture and socialization are focused more and more outside the family thanks to technology. Anne cannot keep Daniel from this world, but she doesn't fully understand it. We must learn to guide our children into this new online world rather than create friction over trying to keep them out of it. But guidance is tough when we feel lost in it. So I think what you want to do is talk with him specifically about this dilemma. And you can start it out by saying, I'm having a problem with this. Rather than, you don't ever seem to get off when we've agreed that you should get off. Because as soon as you start with you, you're blaming. And he's only going to get defensive and, you know, come back with a retort. So.
Well, and with that, sorry to interrupt, but with that one, what I've noticed is when I'm reactive and I, you know, when I'm coming from like, because fear or anger or whatever, then you didn't do what you said you were going to do. But then his response typically is to go to like a lot of shame, which terribly shuts down the whole thing.
Like what? Right, you give me an example?
Yeah, like kind of some version of like, I'm addicted to this and I'm a bad person. You know, I mean,
okay,
that's kind of extreme language, but some version of that is, I've heard some version of that. And that's kind of been, I think he was kind of like born into the world with this kind of sensitivity of like, so we've always had to be really careful about and mindful of, you know, something happened that wasn't okay, but you're not a bad person, right? Inherently, you are not a bad person.
Right.
You just made a, you know, a choice that maybe wasn't so great.
Yeah. So he's a very sensitive kid and is very aware of how he needs to be in the world to be a good person. So his choice, his kind of modus operandi is to blame himself rather than to blame you.
Yes.
Because so many times I hear, you know, get out of my life, get off my back, you know, get the hell out
Every once in a while, there'll be a very mild version of that since he hit like 14. It's this kind of challenging us a bit, but no, it's not the predominant response at all.
Okay. So you want to make sure he's not taking this on himself. Would you call him, I'm going to just kind of go on a little tangent here. Would you call him a potential people pleaser?
Yeah, I think he would have that tendency as like a kind of strategy. Yeah.
So this is typically what I call a harmony kid. The one who is just a great person to be around, the kind of kid that you just love to have around, do things with. He's a great friend, does everything well, doesn't cause a lot of problems, doesn't present a lot of friction around home. And the downside with harmony kids, because they seem to be just wonderful, the downside is that they can easily become people pleasers. They can easily be used by parents if parents are not aware. And what I mean by that is expecting that he's going to do what you want him to do and then expecting things that he shouldn't have to do. Harmony kids want to please and are quite able to shift themselves off their own centers to make things work for others. This means that when Anne loses it and gets angry at Daniel for not doing what they agreed on, which is something she has come to expect him to do, Daniel turns inward and blames himself for not being a good kid. A little bit of this can motivate Harmony kids, but a lot of it can have serious consequences on their self-esteem when shame and possibly anxiety set in. Justin, your young one,
mm-hmm.
Is he like Daniel in temperament, or is he very unlike Daniel in temperament?
You couldn't be more different. Okay. They couldn't be more different.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
So an idea of using Daniel would be to ask him to just don't worry about what's going on with Justin. If Justin is bothering you or doing something, just let him have it, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. Daniel can easily, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So that's what I mean by using him, to just keep the peace and expect him to stay quiet and not make a fuss if Justin is creating chaos.
Right.
What you want to do is tell him that you would like to figure out something with him because he's not having a problem, but you're having a problem. Mm-hmm. Your problem is that you know what this means about prefrontal cortex. You know that you don't want him spending lots and lots of time on it. You know you don't want him staying up really late at night because you're his mom and it's your job to make sure he gets enough sleep. You don't expect him to think about that. That's an important piece to throw in with the expectations here.
Right.
Even though, and especially because he's such a great kid, I imagine you have pretty high expectations for him.
Yes.
Which means he has pretty high expectations for himself. And so therefore, when he doesn't meet your expectations of him, he comes down on himself.
Right.
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 So you want to get the message across to him that this is your job, it's not his.
Okay.
That you've got to make sure he gets enough sleep because what does he care? He's 14. You know, why does he care whether he gets 10 hours of sleep a night, right?
Yeah.
So you can kind of be light about that and explain to him, this shouldn't be, you know, it's great if you know how much sleep you need, but you're not worried about it the way your mother or your father's concerned about it.
Right.
What you want to figure out is how the end time needs to happen, because this is such, it's all so compelling. It's what he wants to do more than anything. It's certainly what he wants to do before he shuts it off to go to sleep. You know, if he were shutting it off because he's going to a sports event, that's one thing. But to shut it off because he's going to sleep, and also you would really like him to have it off well before going to sleep, because it's not good for sleep habits.
Yes, I'm aware of kind of like the blue light or whatever, you know, that affects brain states and our ability to kind of unwind and get into a restful sleep. But Daniel also tends towards kind of anxiety, like, again, kind of also been kind of in the background for him, like, kind of was born, you know, it's kind of interesting how some both of my kids, I can kind of see how they were kind of born into the world with certain kind of things that they're
yes,
unique.
Absolutely. Right? All of, children are. All children.
Yeah, so it's really fascinating. Mm-hmm. So both have you kind of different challenges, but that the anxiety piece, I also recognize, it tends to be higher, you know, when there's more social media stuff. He's actually pretty self-aware. I think he would like to just be on it more, but I think he also recognizes that it does impact him. He's not totally clueless to that,
right,
you know?
Right.
But I'm appreciating what you're saying about owning the responsibility, because that's where my inner conflict was like, are we doing him a disservice by taking away, like just saying, and we, you know, I do it very non-dramatically. I just say, okay, you know, mm-hmm. at this point, it feels, mm-hmm. even if I have felt some internal conflict, I know that there's probably still more you want to do on here, and we're just going to wrap it up for the night, and I'll just put them in the closet, and, you know, we're going to head to bed here, you know, so
and
it's not like,
does he tend to just go with that?
Yes.
All right. Well, that's pretty good. So I would suggest that you give him some choices.
Okay.
So because this is my responsibility and I want it to become yours, but I understand mm-hmm. that this is what you want to be doing. So what do you think would work better for you? The way we've been doing it, if I see that you've been on for longer than I would like to see you on, I've come and I say, okay, we're going to wrap it up now and I'm going to take it. Or to put a device on your computer that will just automatically turn it off at an agreed upon time. Mm-hmm. So I don't have anything to do with the process. Mm-hmm. You don't have a mother coming in nagging.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
How about if I have a sign and I just walk in the room and I hold up the sign and you see the sign and you take that as your cue to turn it off?
So no words, just...
Right. No words.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
And see what he would choose.
Mm, I like that.
In a couple of weeks, on this podcast, I am going to have an interview with Devorah Heitner, who is the author of the first really big book on screens. It's called Screenwise. And she's just coming out with a new book called Growing Up in Public. Mm-hmm. And she's got some great ideas about screens. So be sure and listen to that. It'll be 2 or 3 weeks from now.
Great.
And
yeah, check that out.
I'm very looking forward to talking to her and hearing about her ideas. But I do know that she and I also feel very strongly about helping parents to figure out how to maneuver these screen problems with kids without turning it into a battle. Because again and again and again, it becomes a battle. And the parent-child relationship gets really worn thin over screens. And that is not what we want. You don't have that with Daniel.
Yeah.
Yet. I don't want to put any fear into your head. I mean, he's almost 15, and it sounds to me like he's got a lot going on in his life that he cares a lot about. Mm-hmm. And that's what you always want to keep your eye on. If he's involved, if he's partaking in the family, which so many kids that age are not. Mm. Do you have family meals?
We do sometimes. There's a lot of evening activities.
Right, right. But when you can, when you're home, you all eat together as a family.
Yeah, and we have a board game night pretty regularly. Mm. We, you know, we watch, there's, you know, playoff, you know, sports. We kind of all enjoy sports. So we'll do sports games and all kind of huddle in our tiny TV room.
Great.
Get pretty cozy. So yeah, we have, and we go out in nature together. Yeah, we do. I think we do a decent amount, probably good amount of things together as a family.
Yes, it's a lot. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he wants to do that and he is part of it and gets enjoyment from it,
mm-hmm.
that means you've got a good connection. You know,
yeah.
And that's so, so, so important.
Yeah. No, I would say it's less now, but he'll still come and talk to us about sex and puberty. And
great.
You know, he made a joke about wet dreams the other night and he said, oh, sorry if that embarrasses you. And I'm like, no, it's okay. I mean, I didn't feel embarrassed at all.
That's great.
So, you know, it's a good sign. Yeah. And again, I'm appreciating what you were saying about like the fact that he is kind of such a good kid. And I, you know, and it's not just like he does his homework and like that. He's just inherently a kind person. Mm-hmm. Like people want to be around him. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a good person. Mm-hmm. So, but how that maybe could lead to us putting unrealistic or unknowingly or unconsciously pressurized kind of expectations on him.
Right. When we've got a really successful kid, our expectations keep rising, you know,
mm-hmm.
and we don't realize the pressure that puts on our kids.
Right.
My daughter never, well, this was kind of part of her temperament too, but she never wanted to hear the great comments that teachers made about her. Mm. And I always thought, what's wrong with you? Why don't you want to hear these great things? Mm. And I finally put it together that what it did was just put these expectations on her that she had to keep meeting and surpassing and doing better and better and better. And she would sometimes get pretty stressed out. Here's another thing that I think would be really good to do with Daniel sometime when it just feels natural, to say to him, you know, Daniel, you are, and just whatever you want to tell him about how much you love and admire him, especially the things that you admire about him, mm-hmm. and how capable he is and all of these great things.
Mm.
And the upside to all of this is that you are always going to have good friends. You're always going to be taking part in the world. You're always going to be active. You're always going to be helping people. You're kind, you're loving.
Mm-hmm.
The downside is for you to watch out for is that you make sure you are just as important to you as other people are important to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can very, very easily lose sight of what we want, what's important mm-hmm. to us, when you're the type of person you are, who is mm-hmm. so kind and considerate and accepting and tolerant and all of those things.
Right.
Just make sure you don't ever lose sight of you.
Mm.
Because that can happen. You know, and I think it's a really good message to get in there whenever you can. So
I love that.
When you're making decisions, when he's making decisions about his life,
mm-hmm.
instead of you coming right in with saying, oh, I think that's, I think this should happen, or you should try this or do this, before anything, say to him, what feels right to you? Let's go over the pros and cons. What do you think you should do? What do you think you would feel better after having done that or not having done that? When do you think you'd mm-hmm. feel better? You know, questions like mm-hmm. that. Asking him to really think about it himself.
Yeah. Okay. That's great.
And go ahead.
I was just imagining kind of like fast forwarding to the future. is this kind of all the way through high school that I'm still?
I think that responsibility shifts like around 18, you know, okay. When you want to spend all of the years raising your children, pulling back very gradually and slowly from what you take authority over in your child's mm-hmm. life. Mm-hmm. We have authority over our children's lives because we can't expect them to do what they have to do mm-hmm. because they're kids. Mm-hmm. So we have to make sure they get to bed on time, they brush their teeth, they go to school, they go to the doctor's appointments, all of these things. We have to make sure they do so many different things until they're able to take that on themselves.
Okay.
Right? So our process as parents is to pull back slightly and gradually so that by the time they're 18, they are fully responsible and have full authority over themselves. And from then on, it's really important that kids are making their own decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. You certainly want them to share those decisions with you. You certainly want them to ask your advice and opinions. But it's, depending on the kid, it's less likely. But another thing mm-hmm. that I always believe is that whenever he comes to you with a problem, and he's coming to you with lots of good stuff,
mm-hmm.
before you say anything to him about what you think about it, ask him if he would like your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that with my daughter, that it was very, very important for me to do that. And I would very often ask her if she would like my opinion. And whenever I did that, she always said yes. Mm-hmm. So I think it's very respectful. And I think because we don't like to be told what to do. And parents do that all the time.
Right.
You know, we're just so in the habit of telling our kids what to do. This is a good time for you to start really pulling back on you giving your advice and asking him what he thinks would be the best decision.
Yeah, and I can see how there's these moments of kind of exercising autonomy, right? Mm-hmm. Exercising self-knowing, like, oh, I'm going to put the ball back in your court. Do you want my advice here? Are you asking for advice? Right? It's like, You're at choice. And the same thing with the, even if I'm presenting the options for the screen time and still setting a boundary, like it's going to be done by 10, you get to choose how that happens, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. You set the parameter because you are still the authority.
Mm-hmm.
And then within that parameter, you offer him choices.
Right. Yeah. So Justin, he gets like a very, I would say like 40 minutes, not even every day, maybe 5 days a week or something like that. Usually it's after like a school day and I'm like, okay, you know, you just got home. And I always have this thought, like, it'll help him unwind, but it doesn't.
No.
It doesn't usually have that effect.
No.
Cause I remember coming home from school and like watching a couple of shows. Right. And
yeah.
It was kind of relaxing.
Yeah.
But so he'll get off. Like, I don't have to force him off or anything, but I have to give him a bunch of reminders. It's okay. He's six. But I think there's like a overstimulated thing I think that happens. And then there's like usually a complete meltdown.
Uh-huh. Right.
So I've noticed, okay, you have to have a snack before.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain shows I've noticed that don't do well.
Let me ask you, does he enjoy doing things outdoors?
Mm-hmm.
Like at home,
yeah.
But outside?
Yeah. He likes to be inside. He'll sit on the couch and read. It doesn't have to be on the screen. He loves to look at books.
That's the problem, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if there is some way, when he comes home from school, he could, without it being, you know, punitive or anything like this, mm-hmm. for him to do something outside first. Mm-hmm. It would be great if he could unwind from the school day outdoors. I talk a lot about thinking of the day as a pie chart. Once they do all of the things that you require them to do, then mm-hmm. they have free time. Mm-hmm. So instead of talking about screen time, I like to talk about free time. They can mm-hmm. read a book. They can talk to a friend. They can be on a screen. They can take a nap. Whatever they choose, right? Mm-hmm. But they have to have these other things done before right. that free time. And sometimes I think it's a really good idea to include playing outside before okay. the free time.
Yeah.
Right? Doing yep. things, whatever he needs to do around the house, helping out in some way. You can decide with him when, well, hopefully he's too young for homework. God, kids get homework younger and younger these days. It's right? awful.
No, he doesn't have any homework. And he good. Actually spends a really good amount of time outside at his little school that he goes to.
Uh-huh. Great. Great.
Yeah, he's not like sitting at a desk all day.
Okay,
like that.
That's great. That's yeah. great. But think of it as in going forward as well. The more, yeah. you know, because he will be inside more and more and probably right. get homework before too long. Let him decide when that will be, but think of it in this pie chart. And once mm-hmm. these things are over, then you're free to do what you want. Mm-hmm. Rather than talking about you can only have this much screen time. Because as soon as we yeah. get into saying you can only have this much screen time, you're really setting up a battle. Because unfortunately, that is what kids want to do more than anything else. And it's
I wish it was illegal.
I know.
You just all throw the phones in the iPad.
I know, right.
Well, I could see the struggle with that. I love that. And I do, there are certain things. I'm like, you have to use the bathroom, take a drink of water, have a snack, wash your hands. Those are the things that the requirements, but he's rushing through them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like,
right.
So I could see the nature time thing being a bit of a battle. Although I know he would enjoy it, but it's like the thing is on his mind is like watching the show or whatever.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like how I could see that being a challenge.
I don't know how the timing works out, but is it something you could do with him?
Yeah.
Go outside. So that's
yeah.
that's just becomes you have a snack, you two go outside and do something,
mm-hmm.
throws a ball around or take a walk or whatever.
And maybe there's even a chart for that. Like, here's the choices.
Yes, exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
He does, like, we paint together. He likes to play ball with his dad. Yeah, there's a thing.
Yeah.
A list of things that we
right.
can.
Right.
Can make a choice. Okay, cool. Can try that.
Good.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much for telling me about your kids, Anne.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. I'm Bonnie Harris. If you're curious to learn more or would like to talk to me personally, check out my website, bonnieharris.com, where you can also find my books, When Your Kids Push Your Buttons and Confident Parents, Remarkable Kids. There are also links in the liner notes. And please subscribe to Tell Me About Your Kids on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Tell Me About Your Kids is produced and scored by Echo Finch.